Oh, hallelujah. Well, God is so amazing. Isn't he awesome? Are you excited? Are you on fire? Hallelujah. You know, we need to be excited about what God is doing in our lives. And, you know, life is such an adventure. It's such a journey. And you never know what tomorrow will bring. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's opportunity. It all depends on how you look at it and how you approach it. And God has caused all things to work together for our good when we are called according to his purpose and our lives are in alignment with what it is that he has called us to do. And that's what makes life so exciting. That's what makes being a Christian so interesting. Because we just never know what tomorrow will bring. But we do know that no matter what comes our way, God has already been made aware of it. He knows it's coming. And if we keep our eyes on him, we will be able to overcome whatever the obstacles are, whatever the challenges are, whatever the difficulties are. God has already said, in the end, we will endure. We will make it. We will see our way through. Isn't it great to know the outcome before things happen? Isn't that helpful to know? It makes it a lot easier to endure when things don't seem to look like we're going to win. But the ultimate thing is that we actually do win. And it's not even so much that we win, but Christ has already won. And he is just bringing us along for the victory ride. Hallelujah. And so you and I have every reason to rejoice today and to give thanks and to be glad. And so I just want to encourage you today in the fact that no matter what it is that's on your mind or what you see or what you're thinking about, God already knows and has already devised a plan. So all we need to do is follow him. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. Follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. And that's what we are charged to do. And as soon as Jesus spoke those words, Satan said, oh yeah, let's see if you can. Let's see. And the challenge is now on. The challenge is, can you keep your eyes on Jesus enough to endure to the end? Because that is what our mission and our task must be. We must hold on to what God is saying and doing and trust him to lead us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. This is who we are as the people of God. This is what we have been called to do. And as we live our lives with our hope and our trust in Jesus. Our faith is in him. And so, I don't know about you, but I'm excited considering all that's happening all around us because it's opportunity for God to prove himself. And I am always in need of a good testimony. Aren't you? Aren't you? Don't you need a good testimony? Who doesn't like hearing stories of how God brought victory or enabled people to overcome? Man, how awesome when you're the story. Hallelujah. How awesome it is. That's the best story yet. Let me tell you stories. It's too bad we don't have story time. Maybe over Thanksgiving you had story time at your house. And maybe you shared stories of how God gave you the victory. Stories of what you are thankful for. Testimonies of God's ability to bring victory in our lives. We should do that one night. We should have that. I think we do have that. Don't we have it? What if you go online and you put your story in, what's it called? Flipgrid. The Flipgrid. That is the place where we can share our stories. And we're going to put all that together in a nice video and we'll be able to share it because it's going to be hard to do it all for New Year's Eve this year and the things that we normally would do. So we had to be a little creative in how to do this. But we're going to do it so that you'll have an opportunity to share your stories. And if God has done anything for you that you recognize, because let's face it, we know he has. The question is, do people recognize it, right? So the things that we recognize that God has done for us, if we could share those stories, how much of an encouragement that will be for all of us. We all need to hear those stories. Amen? Amen. Well, we are talking about God being our sole proprietor and being in intimate pursuit of God. And that's so important because when you understand that God, you belong to God, that he owns you and he loves you and cares for you as his very own child, it changes your perspective on life. You realize that, you know, you have help as you go through life. You have support. You have someone who cares for you. I never forget when I was growing up, I would hear people say all the time, oh yeah, I'm gonna get my big brother to come beat you up. Or I'm gonna get, my dad is gonna come beat up your dad. And there was all these challenges and things that kids would say about their hope that the person they would look to as their backup and the support that they needed. And you and I, we could say, well, my God is able to beat your God. And he can bring down every stronghold and every hindrance that you try to bring my way. God is able to enable me to be victorious and to be seen through. This is what God is working out in our lives. And so I would like to use as a theme verse today, Deuteronomy 6:17. And it says, you should diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you. Now, we're all familiar with how Moses led the people out of Egypt through the wilderness and into the promised land. And so here is God's charge to the people as they were preparing to go into the promised land. And you and I have been given this same charge. It has not changed. You and I are going through the wilderness of life, and we will ultimately get to the promised land, to the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, where Christ rules. And we are on a journey through life to reach that place. And the only way to get there successfully and to have the right experiences that we need in order to bring glory and honor to God, we must apply these principles. And that is to diligently keep the commandments of the Lord, to remember his testimonies and hold on to them, and his statutes or his laws, his spiritual rules, and the things that we need to learn and know so that we can effectively navigate through life. This is what God has given us. These are the things that we need so that we can have a life that is abundant or effective or fulfilled or complete. This is what God is working out in our lives. And so I would like to use as a theme today, the diligent life. The diligent life. We are living in a pre-apocalyptic world, and as we are leading into this times, it is bringing us, or God is bringing us, to the end. The end, ultimately, when Christ returns, or when the new heaven and the new earth are revealed, and God ultimately established the eternal reign. This is where we are headed as the people of God, and this is what our life's focus is really all about. This is why we have a relationship with God, so that we would be able to begin to experience the benefits of eternal life today, right now. And the moment that we begin to apply biblical principles, we are being prepared for the end, for the ultimate life that God has prepared for his people. And so we are living today in preparation of that day. And so I would like to take this word, the diligent life, and our pre-apocalyptic world that we are in, and kind of come to a place where we are able to align ourselves for victory. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Well, Lord, let's pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you are doing in the midst of us. And we ask, God, that you would fill us with your spirit, that you would hear the words of the Lord, not the words of men, but that we would hear the word of the Spirit of God, that, Lord, you would minister to us and speak to us and mold us and shape us, align us, and help us to have vision and perceptions that come from you. Help us, oh God, to be effective in our walk with you, that we would commune with you and be strengthened and empowered by you, that our faith would increase and we would be enabled to accomplish the things that you have called us to do. We thank you, oh God, for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you and I are living our lives, and you know, the world knows the effectiveness of being diligent. And that's one thing that most parents teach their children, or try to teach them, is the importance of being diligent at the tasks at hand. Doing what you need to do and doing it well. Being effective at doing the things that you're required or needed to do, because as you go through life, everything becomes something useful over time. And as we go through the various responsibilities and challenges and take on all of the different responsibilities that we need and are required to take on, as we are faithful to God and fulfill those things, God uses them to benefit the kingdom of God. Your life experience is something that God has cultivated so that your story can be of benefit to other people. Your story and my story is not just for me. It's not just for us. It is for the people that God brings into our life. And at whatever point or place along life's journey you're in, or wherever you find yourself, everything leading up to that point is your story, is your testimony, and is beneficial for helping people get closer to God. And we must never forget what God has done in our lives. We must never forget how important it is to hear the voice of the Spirit of God, to recognize his workings in our life, and to take that and use it to help others get closer to God. And so I would like to use here today, beginning with James 1:12. And it said, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Hallelujah. Well, we know that this is an important passage because it, number one, gets us going with a challenge. And the challenge is that when we're under trials, when we're going through challenges and difficulties and hardships, that we have to be able to persevere in order to be blessed. In other words, if we give up or we fail or decide to do something else along the way and we don't endure, then we will not achieve or reap the blessing. The blessing comes to those who persevere. And this is an important principle to hold on to, because as we go through life, many challenges come our way. Many difficulties come our way. Things happen that are beyond our control and that are not necessarily pleasant, but they are opportunities for the blessing of God to be revealed. God can show himself and reveal himself through the hardships and difficulties that we face. It's easy to have faith in God when everything goes right. In fact, I've been involved in church and church ministry and around Christians pretty much my whole life, and I've never heard a Christian, when asked the question, "Do you have faith in God?" say, "Nope, absolutely not. I completely ran dry. I'm telling you, I try to trust God and it just doesn't happen. I just know." You ever hear anybody say anything like that? No, everyone you ask that question suddenly becomes super saint. All of a sudden, "I've got faith of a mustard seed. I can move mountains. Oh, I've got great faith. Oh, yes, I trust in God. Well, I'm just trusting in the Lord." Hallelujah. And this is how Christians respond to these, because no one wants to really say, you know what? I just don't know and I'm scared. I don't know and I'm scared. When you talk to people about the coronavirus and all the things going on, you don't hear Christians say, oh, I'm petrified, I'm scared to death. They are, because you see them shaking. But they don't say it. They just won't admit it. And that's how life is, isn't it? People don't want to admit it. You watch the news. You heard Kenny. He was scared. He was just watching the news, and he got scared. And it's because that's what it does. And words and things and experience in life are designed to produce a certain result. And you would have to not exist in the world to not experience that. And so when we're honest before God and we're honest before one another, that opens the door to victory and the ability to overcome. And so we can be blessed when we persevere, when we are able to press our way through despite how we feel. And that is why we are renewed in our minds by, number one, meditating on the Word of God day and night, right? And abiding in the Lord and the fellowship of God. And this is what God is calling us to do. And so he says he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Do you love him? Well, if you love him, keep his commandments. Isn't that what Jesus said? It says you will know them by how they testify about all the things. No, but by the fruit you shall know them. And so we can get answers to things people don't tell the truth about by looking at the fruit of their lives. And by looking at how we live, it will show us exactly where we are. It's like as we travel on a road. I remember as a kid growing up, we would have these maps. And we would open these maps. You remember these maps? You know, and they would be, when you unfolded, the part you needed was never on the end where you could just like open it and it was like right there so you could have just the part you needed. You always had to unfold this thing like five or six times, like, you know, one, two, three, four. Then it would open this way and then it would open this way again. And now you got this thing. It's bigger than the inside of your car, right? And you're driving with this thing and you're trying to figure out where you are on the map, which was the biggest challenge of all, right? And, you know, where in the world am I on this? And then to be able to figure out what the route would be and where you have to go. And so life is like that. There are challenges and difficulties, and we have to be honest about where we are so that we can get where we need to be. And so when we're honest with God, God will give us a modern day GPS, right? We don't need that anymore. Now we have the voice that says, go 2 miles and make a right. Go 2 miles and make a right. We have the voice that tells us. And now there used to be the woman's voice, and then people got upset because men said they didn't want women telling them what to do. And so now they have men and women voices. And that's really what happened. I'm telling you, that was really what people were complaining about, that, you know, I guess, you know, they had some issues there, you know. And so now you have all different kinds of voices. Then they have the high voice, and then there's the low voice, right? And so they have now they have names for the different voices. And so, you know, we have to be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And it is the Word of God and the Spirit of God united together that enable us to be empowered to live our lives in a way where we are able to stay on course. God speaks to us and he helps us and he leads us along the way. And this is what the promise of God is, that if we follow him, he will make us fishers of men. Our goal is to fulfill the Great Commission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. This is what you and I are challenged to do. No matter what else is happening or is going on or what needs to be done, this is ultimately the end goal, is to impact people for the sake of the kingdom of God. We are to be witnesses to our children and our families. That is our first place in order of witness and testimony, that we get our house in order. from there, it overflows into Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth, right? Now we're impacting the people around us, extended family and friends and neighbors, coworkers and different places. And then we're to even reach out into the far areas of the world so that we can have a global impact. This is what the gospel is really all about. This is the purpose of Christian life and Christian living. And this is what God is calling us to do. And as we apply these biblical principles in our life, James 1:18 then says, in the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. And so God has called us to be a godly witness to creatures. Now, some people say that that's talking about human beings, but I don't think so. I think when he talks about creatures, he's not only talking about people, even though some people are creatures. We do know that he is talking about every living thing. The witness of it's a witness to the world, to the universe, to all of creation. Why? Because we learn from Psalms, all of creation worships him. And if all of creation worships him, then we are a part of that. So we're just joining in to the chorus. So the creation bears witness with our worship, with our acknowledging God, with our alignment with God. So instead of everything working against us, and I have this principle that says, you know, no matter what is happening, when you're driving along the road, no one else is on the road. You're the only one on the road. You get to the intersection and there's a car coming at a crash course collision for you if you make that turn without stopping. Has this ever happened to you? Or there's the guy who's pulling out of the driveway, not looking, just as you, the only car on the road, comes by. And then all of a sudden, by the grace of God, he realizes it and goes, and you go, Jesus, hallelujah. Well, this is the principle that I see happen in my life every day. I see it all the time because I know that Satan is out to hinder and distract the people of God. That's why I tell my kids, be careful when you go out. When they tell me they're going somewhere, I say, be careful. And I whisper a prayer. I say, Lord, go with them. Because I know this is a fallen world and everything is designed to work against the things of God. When you say, I will pray, stuff starts happening and you don't get to pray. Why? Because something threw you off course. It was that way. As soon as you make up your mind to do what is right and what the will of God is, Satan devises a plan to come against you. And if you don't understand that, then you're going to just easily be thrown off track. But when you see, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be praying. I'm supposed to be in the word of God. I need to do that. That's what I was about to do. And now all of a sudden, I have something in the way. And every time we go to do what God would call us to do, whether it's go to church or whether it's try to help or do the right thing, there is always going to be opposition. And so we have to exercise. We practice. We try to work out doing the will of God. It takes practice. It's an exercise. Right? And if you don't exercise, you don't live long. Isn't that right? Isn't that what they tell you? Right? They say exercise is the key to longevity. And if you can exercise and keep your heart rate up and do all these things, then you will live a better quality of life and probably a little bit longer life. And so sickness and disease is averted in our lives by useful, helpful exercise. And the word of God does the same thing. And as we apply biblical principles and we see the exercise or the putting into practice the word of God, the principles of God, then we will be able to have an impact on the lives of the people around us. We will be a good godly witness to them. And that is what God wants us to be. You will be a first fruit, he says, to people. Wasn't it Gandhi who said, show me a Christian who can actually live like a Christian and I too will become a Christian. And so the whole idea is that you and I have to be witnesses for people to see what the word of God looks like when it's actually lived out. That's what our children need to see. That's what our coworkers need to see. That's what the people that we interact with need to see. When the world is being shaken up, are you falling all over the place and falling apart, or are you able to be steadfast? Are you able to see the faithfulness of God? Are you able to trust in the Lord? Do you have the peace that surpasses all understanding? Well, the peace that surpasses all understanding only creates as an opportunity when everybody else is in turmoil. And if there's no turmoil, there's no opportunity for the peace that passes all understanding. And so you and I have opportunity when things like coronavirus and challenges and difficulties, when all these bad things happen, that's an opportunity for God to show up in your life and do a miracle, for you to see the faithfulness of God. It adds to your story. So now you have something else that's relevant, that is today, that is now, that someone can benefit from when you have that divine encounter. And so God has called us to be his witnesses. In 2 Peter 1, 10 and 11, it says, "Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble." So we practice biblical principles. We apply the word of God. We follow his commandments, and we do the things that God has called us to do. Why? Because God wants to, number one, keep us from stumbling, but number two, he wants us to have faith in him. He wants to increase. God is not calling us to be a blind person who kind of goes along just believing in God just for the sake of believing, just because. But no, he gives us things to substantiate our belief. He confirms that our belief is in a real person, in a real thing. It's not just some random faith, but it is faith in evidence, in the proof that God is who God says he is, and his word does do what his word says it does. And God is faithful to his word. And you and I can trust in his word. That's why if you meditate on God and his word, then you will be able to endure no matter what life throws your way, because you will have stability. Because God's word brings stability to a person's mind. It brings stability to the mind. And it enables you to stand even when things are hard to stand in the midst of. God enables you to see things when other people can't see them. God's word enables you by the Spirit of God to have depth that most people do not have. And so you are able to live a life that is on a totally different plane of existence than those who do not have faith in God. And it is more than just believing. And so as 2 Peter 1:10 says, "Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent." Be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling. Make sure that you know the Lord, that you have a relationship with God. In verse 11, he says, "For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you." I don't know about you, but I need an abundance of God's supply of the eternal kingdom. God wants to prove that heaven is real in your life by using your story, your witness, your life experiences. All of the things that have happened in your life are all useful. Nothing is a waste. Nothing is not worthy of sharing. Everything you've been through is worthy of sharing because God has brought you through it. And because of God's faithfulness, you are here. And the reason you had to take the path you took, it was because you were born when and where in the family that you were born. Those are the cards that you've been dealt, as they say. Isn't that right? But it's a winning hand. It just doesn't look like it. You just not got to know how to change the cards around until everything works out. And that's what God will do in your life. He will allow you to seize the opportunities that he brings your way so that you can make wise choices and decisions, so that you are able to overcome obstacles and change the trajectory of your lineage. This is what God is working out in our lives, so that we ultimately get to the eternal kingdom of God. This is what God is working out in our lives. So the first question I would like to ask you today is, am I born again? This ultimately is the very first question every one of us have to ask ourselves, because we, let's face it, grow up in a religious environment, in a religious world, if you will, in the sense that we grow up, a lot of us grew up going to church, a lot of us grew up in an environment where the assumption of God's reality and the things of God are there. It even says on the money, in God we trust, isn't that right? And so we're already kind of steered or focused towards God, and so we are in a certain place. But that doesn't mean that just because we believe all the right things and we have all the right information that we are born of the Spirit of God. You see, Satan also believes. Remember, he knows the Word of God more than all of us and better than all of us. And he understands spiritual principles and divine rules and laws. And his goal is to throw you and I off course, because he knows that we don't know them. And because we don't know them, we are at a disadvantage. So every time we try to get in a place where we can glean or learn, he bumps us off. And either we fall for it and just go waffling off course and don't come back, or we become aware of it and we say, aha, I know that was the devil. He's trying to keep me from being here where I need to be. And so we learn these things. So the question is, am I born again? Do I have a hunger for God? This is the ultimate question. When you're born of the Spirit, you have a hunger from God. When a child is born, a baby, they're hungry all the time, right? Little babies are always hungry. And, you know, as soon as you put them near something, they're, right? You hand them something, where does it go? Oh, wow. That's little babies. They're hungry. And when you're born of God, you're a child of God, you're a babe in Christ, you're hungry. You're hungry for the Word of God. You need more in the Word of God. You can't get enough of it. You're hungry for Christian fellowship. You just have a desire, because the more you take in the Word, the more you want to be around other people. It's just like a little baby. The more they're around other people as they eat and grow, the more they want to stand up and walk like other people. You ever notice that? You don't really have to tell a baby, get up and walk now. It's just a matter of time. You just got to wait. They're crawling around. They're crawling around because nobody wants to stay in one place, not even a little baby. He wants to get around just like everybody else. And they work their way until eventually they grab onto something and they stand up. And then they start to learn how to balance themselves out. And they go through the whole process. And, you know, as much as we try to teach them, we try to encourage them by standing them up and trying to get them to go. But whenever you do that, it just doesn't kind of work out in the timeline you would like. But when the babe himself is ready, when the babe themselves are ready, then they will find their way up. And of course, we're there to encourage them. And we're like, yes. And as Christians, as you walk with God, you need people in your life who can go, yes, yes. You need to be around people who can encourage you, who can breathe life into you, who can help you to see when God is at work, and you help you see when the devil is at work, so that you will understand how to move forward, how to take the next steps. So verse 10 of 2 Peter 3:10 says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burnt up. And so this is why we need to take our walk with God seriously. This is why we need to grow and mature in the Lord. It is because there is a day coming when the Lord will come like a thief, the Bible says. And if we're not ready, then we will miss out. Isn't that right? And so you must be born again. It's important to have this relationship with God. How do you know? You're hungry for the Word of God. It's hard to go through the day without even thinking of a scripture or a word of some portion of the word of God. Man, if you can go through the day and be detached from the word of God, there's something wrong with your relationship with God. There is something wrong, because just like the Bible is milk, as Paul says, for the soul and for the believer, it's just like the milk a baby needs when they are first born. And you're hungry for the word of God. You want the word of God. And when you're born of the Spirit, that hunger is always stirring. It's there. When we're religious, when we just have the right information, it kind of doesn't exist. You could take it or leave it. You can come to church, you cannot come to church. You can read the Bible, you cannot read the Bible. You can pray, you cannot. You could do almost anything else. And when it comes to the things of God, it just doesn't matter. And if that's your experience, I'm not talking about that's not the way you're actually rationalizing it, because like I said, I don't know too many Christians that say, I have no faith at all, because we have been trained to say certain things. But the reality is a whole nother matter. And we have to learn how to be honest with ourselves so that we can learn where we are on the map, so that we can get to where we need to be and where we are going. And so when the day of the Lord will come like a thief, we need to make sure that we're ready, because all the things of this world will be burnt up, the word of God says. I love what Cato said, put the sticky note on everything that when Christ returns will be done away with. And that's what this is talking about. You and I have to make sure that we're putting our focus and our emphasis on the things that really matter, the things that will endure. Those things are the things we have to go to the Word of God. We have to saturate ourselves in God, in His Word, and allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, to direct us, and give us a sense of who we are and where we are going, so that we can take forth from where we are now and get to where God needs us to be. This is what God is working out in our life. And so, since all of these things are taking place in the world around us, back in those days when they were burning people at the stake and feeding them to lions, here is Peter saying, what ought our conduct be as the people of God? How ought we be behaving? And it's very easy to be distracted, to be thrown off course, and we can miss out on what it is that God is trying to accomplish in our lives so that we can ultimately endure to the end. In verse 12 says, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. This is God's version of global warming. And so you see, ultimately, the world will be destroyed by fire, right? Ultimately what the scripture says. The first time it was destroyed by the flood, but this time it's going to be destroyed by intense heat. And so we know that God is preparing the world for His rule and His reign, for the new heaven and the new earth. There is a transformation that is taking place in the world today as the world moves more and more to be like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah and the days of Noah, which is what the Word of God tells us things will be like when Christ is ready to return. And so as we are seeing what's happening around us, we must prepare ourselves. This is why we can't play games with ourselves. We cannot play games with our identity, with the reality of Christ and our relationship with God. We must take these things seriously. We must be diligent in our faith, diligent in our walk with God, diligent in our pursuit of God. And you can be distracted and take on the mentality of the people in the world around you if you'd like to, but if you do, you will suffer the same consequences that they suffer. But if your faith is in God and the application of the Word of God
is the very root of your life and lifestyle so that you are able to persevere to the very end, then victory shall be yours. God will see you through because he will enable you to see and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying so that you can overcome the obstacles that Satan is strategizing against you. And God will enable you to be victorious. And finally, he says, according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Are you preparing yourself for the new heaven and the new earth where righteousness dwells? If righteousness dwells in the new heaven and the new earth, wouldn't it behoove you to begin to live righteously now? Live in the righteousness of God today so that you can be easily identified as a child of God. You see, it's not the fact that we are perfect or that we are living 100% right. It's the fact that we are following God and we are walking in his righteousness according to his direction and according to his will and his way. Remember the principle that's established in Genesis, whosoever word you obey, that is who your master is. That principle being what it is, that tells us that whoever the people are that are speaking into your life that you follow or listen to or hold dear and take to heart, those are the gods in your life. But when the Word of God is the source of your life and is the focus and the principle, the foundation in which you live, then God becomes the Lord of your life. So often people testify, I thank God who's the head of my life. And then they go out and they live in a way that is contrary to God. Or situations arise, because it's not when things go good, but when bad things start happening, all of a sudden they start behaving in a way that is contradictory to the Word of God. And when those things happen, that tells you that you're off course, either that or you're not even on the track at all. You're not even in the game. It's one of those two things. Either you're off course or you're not in the game. And so we have to make sure that we are right with God so that when we see that, oh, there's a little something in me that is not of God, I need to get that off. I need to get rid of that. I need to repent of that and turn from it and align myself with what God's word says. No one can do this for you. You have to do this for yourself. Each person has to make their own decision. But we can model the way for other people to make it easier for them to make the right choice. And so that is what the goal is of the Christian, of the believer. We are to make sure that we have a right relationship with God so that we can model the right thing for the people in the world around us so that we can testify and share and bring life to them. And so it's according to his promise that we are able to look. God has made the promise, so that is what we are now holding on to. And so verse 14 says, therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. Are you at peace today? Are you spotless? Are you blameless? This is where we need to be. That means that we are not walking in our own righteousness, but we're walking in the righteousness of Christ. That's what makes us spotless and blameless. When we walk in the righteousness of Christ, when we hold true to the Word of God, when we are faithful to the Word of God, to the will of God, when we do what God has called us to do, it doesn't mean you're perfect. It just means that you're doing everything you can to hold on. You're diligently exercising the things of God in your life. And this is what God is working out in the midst of us. And so in regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you. Well, here we see that he's saying, don't let the fact that Jesus is taking a long time or the Lord is taking his time returning. He says, you ought to see that as salvation. It's an opportunity for you and I to get ourselves together, to get ourselves right with God, so that we are walking in the wisdom of God, so that we are able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and doing, so that we can align ourselves. Listen, the fact is, nobody can make you do it. It's up to you whether you want to have a relationship with God and whether or not you want to follow him in the righteousness of truth. It's up to you. Why, nobody can make anybody do it. People can go along just being religious, saying, well, I've done my penance for the day, I've done my good deeds, or I've prayed my prayer, or I've read my Bible verse. You can live your life that way and still not know God. And I can assure you that you will find out in the end whether or not that worked out or not. But I don't know about you. I don't want to take that chance. That's why I don't go to Vegas very often. I'm not a gambling man. Hallelujah. Even though the buffets are quite nice. So I would say that it is important that we make a conscious decision, you know, to follow God and apply his word. We have to do it. And I don't want to be around people who are fakers, who are just going through the motions. I need to be around people who are battling this thing just like me, who are going through the challenges of life with me, and that we're able to help each other and hold each other up. I don't want people saying, I got faith like the mountains of God. Well, you know, well, then why are you crying and hiding under the bed at home? Why is it that when things go wrong, you got all kinds of issues and problems, and you don't want anybody telling you anything because you already know there's something wrong? But I need to be in an environment where it's okay to make mistakes. I need to be in an atmosphere where it's okay to not know, or to not have something, or to not be aware, because I need to learn. I need to know. I need to grow. I need help being held up. I need somebody to be there to encourage me, to motivate me along. Goodbye, you're doing great. We need that in our lives, and we need people who can speak life into us. And it needs to be of a genuine source of the Spirit of God. And that is what God is building in his church. That is why the people of God are able to persevere. We can have peace that surpasses all understanding, even in the worst times, because that's really when it matters. That's when it matters. And so that is how you know you have a little something of what you're supposed to have. Because when things go wrong and everything is a big mess, can you represent the kingdom? Can you demonstrate the wisdom and the power of God, the love of God, patience, peace, kindness, and gentleness? Can you manifest the very principles of God in his word? This is what we are working out. And God is giving us time to do so. He says, you therefore, verse 17, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness. You see, Satan will use people to mess you up, to throw you off course, to get you to stop coming to church, to stop praying, stop reading your Bible, to stop doing the things that you know that God has called you to do. And if you can persevere, God will always be your cover. He will make a way for you. God will open doors for you. You see, when the Israelites went through the wilderness, they had other tribes and groups rise up against them to do battle against them. They had all kinds of issues. They had all kinds of problems. They had people in their own midst that were talking trash about, let's go back to Egypt, and can we trust Moses, and who gave him the right to tell us or to lead us, or we can talk to God for ourselves. They dealt with all kinds of stuff. It's the same things that we are seeing in our lives today. The same experiences that we have, it's all been done before. There is nothing new. It's the same spirit, that's why. It's the same demon and devil that is working in the hearts and minds of a fallen world. And you and I have the roadmap. We have the GPS of life that enables us to navigate through so that we can overcome and achieve victory. Because Christ has made the way for us. And when we follow his word and his plan, we will overcome. We can avoid the obstacles that come through unprincipled men who are there to help us or to cause us to fall from our own steadfastness. You think of all the things God was using you to do before coronavirus. And now, how much of that are you still able to do? And the issue is not so much that it's just coronavirus, it's really what's going on in the hearts and minds of the people. And when your heart and your mind is aligned to God in His Word, you will see the way to fulfill the call of God in your life. God will use you to share your story, to share your testimony, or to bring life and health and strength to the people around you. He will use you in whatever area of occupation or work or whatever it is that you do, and He will enable you to press your way into a place of usefulness and effectiveness. This is what the Spirit of God does, regardless of what the situations or the circumstances are in the world that we are in. God will enable you to be effective. And so He says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. In other words, just as a baby grows, you and I, we have to grow. We can't stay the same. We shouldn't be the same this year as we were last year. I hope coronavirus has matured you, has enabled you to persevere and press your way. I'm preaching to the choir here because you guys are here. I mean, we got a full house here, right? And praise be to God that you are able to press your way and see the faithfulness of God. You have a testimony because you're doing something. Hallelujah. And when you're doing something, God can prove Himself. God can make a way for you. I know there are people who are physically not able. They can't do it. And that's why we have OCGF TV. But we know that God will still provide opportunities for people wherever they are. And you can be used of God wherever you are if you arise in the Word of God. Draw your strength from God's Word. If you don't abide in the Word of God, you're going to have the spirit of the world operating through your mind. And that's why so many Christians are rendered ineffective. It's because of what's going on in their mind. It's not because they don't have the wherewithal or the skills or the ability. They don't have the provision or the resources that are needed to do what needs to be done. They just have something happening in their head that has got them spun. So now they're rendered useless. And God says the Word of God will deliver you from that. It will set you free. It will liberate your mind. Your CPU unit needs reconditioning. And God, by the Word of God, can transform it. And we know from studies on the brain that the mind can be transformed within 4 to 5 days. That's a powerful scientific, for the scientific people, truth. And so He says, grow. Grow in grace and knowledge and allow God to be exalted in your life. Allow Him to be glorified in your life. And so the next question is, am I in pursuit of God? You're only going to grow if you're in pursuit of God. How do I know if I'm in pursuit of God? Well, I ask myself these three questions. How do I spend my day? What are my spiritual goals? How is it that I'm going through my day? What am I looking for? What am I expecting? God, what are you doing? You know, when you get up in the morning, you have a general idea of what your day is, right? You know where you're going. You know what you're going to be. You might know, you know, when I used to go down to the city, I used to know when I had client meetings, when I had events that I had to do event planning, I knew what was coming. And I would be able to pray and ask God to use me before I even got there. I'm praying and I'm saying, God, prepare me for these meetings, for these interactions, for these people. I would know who they were. I had a schedule. I had a calendar. I knew where I was going and what places I was going to be. And so as I was thinking about those before I even left my house, I'm able to pray and say, God, use me when I get there. Give me favor when I get there. Help me, Lord, to be effective. Help me, Lord, to to be prosperous in my way as I go. I'm praying ahead. Give me divine encounters that I would meet people that would be useful or helpful for the advancing of the kingdom of God. This is how I would spend my day, looking for these opportunities. And those were my goals. And what objectives do I have in place to reach those goals? In other words, what am I doing so that I could see that those things would happen? Well, the first thing I would do is I would always listen to the word of God. I would meditate on the scripture. I would have a daily devotional, something in the morning, whether I was on the bus or whether I drove in. I would be listening to the word of God so that I would be in a spiritual frame of mind. And so that I would have not just a spiritual frame of mind, but a kingdom mindset, so that I would be focused on the kingdom of God, so that I would realize that I am an ambassador. I represent the kingdom of God. And I would have to remind myself, and I would always keep reminding myself, because I would easily get caught up in stuff as I would go through the day, because things would be happening, you'd interacting with people, you know, all the stuff that happens. You can get lost in what you're doing. And I would have to remind myself and say, kingdom of God, Holy Spirit. Sometimes I would just say, Jesus, help me, Holy Spirit. And then I would sense God's presence. You know that anointing. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, when you say the name Jesus, you feel that. Ooh. You get that. Ooh. You know, that's the confirmation that the word is true and that the Spirit of God is with you. You sense the presence of God, the power of God. And there is nothing greater than the anointing. I tell you what, I don't know where I would be without the anointing. Woo, glory, Jesus. Just give me a minute. Woo, there's something about it. Man, it gives you what you need when you need it. And it helps you get a reshift. All right, Lord, I got it now. Okay, all right. And it helps you. These are the little things that matter. And when you're born of the Spirit of God takes up residence in you. And then the Spirit is able to quicken you. He's able to charge you. He's able to work in you so that you can experience God. Hallelujah. And this is why in Proverbs 8:17, the writer is really God who's speaking as the person of wisdom. And he says, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Do you see that? Do you need wisdom in your life? Do you need the wisdom of God? Sometimes we are not able to do things because we didn't ask God. And I have learned, and largely learned because my wife has helped me to learn this, you know, because, you know, I was always losing keys and stuff and so forth. You guys know. And every time I would be looking for the keys, I would always end up coming to her saying, have you seen my key? And she would say, no, did you ask the Holy Spirit? And I was like, doggone it, you know the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, and she was like, come on, let's pray, let's ask God. And so, you know, I'm there like, yeah, all right, here we go. Let's pray. Yeah. Holy Spirit, could you show me where my keys are, please? Right? You know what I'm talking about. You guys have done the same kind of thing. And so here you are, and I'll be darned if a few minutes later I'm doing something, and then all of a sudden, oh, wait, there it is. There's my key. I learned this. I learned it so well that, you know, last night, I'm going to tell you this story. My wife came to me with her little toy train, and it was going around. And around, all right, easy now, that's all right. Yeah, and she's over there, so, you know, I got to be real careful, you know. And so, you know, I got to make sure I get it right, you know. So she brings it to me and she says, you know, Leona took the head from the recorder that she was playing with and she stuck it into the tunnel of the train. Now, it was one of those Christmas toys where the train goes around and it's a little Christmas village and it has the little lights, you know, and it's going around. Well, Leona came in, turned it on because it was off, and then she's watching it. She leaves, she comes back with the recorder and the whistle, and she's watching it go around, and at just the right time, she takes it and shoves it right into the tunnel, and the train crashes in underneath it and jams into this tunnel, and it's stuck. I mean, this thing was stuck. And so my wife brings it to me, and she's like, oh, can you get it out? And I'm like, yeah, I'll get it out. But I was busy at the time and kind of relaxing. And so I said, come back, and I'll look at it in a few minutes, and a little later. So she takes it into the room. But I didn't know she had taken it to everybody else in the house and pretty much asked everybody if they could pull this thing out. They could get it out. And there were all kinds of reasons why it couldn't be done that were presented, different theories and different ideas and concepts. You know, you guys know my family, right? So they're all pontificating on how this really can't be done without breaking it. And something would need to be cut or broken or destroyed. So, you know, I'm learning all this. This is after the fact. So you know, I come in not knowing any of this, feeling kind of like Ananias and Sapphira, but in a good way. Hallelujah. And so, you know, I come in, and so I'm looking at it. There it is on the bed. My wife is laying on the bed. And I'm like, oh, look at that. It's even in the bed now next to it. I'm like, all right. So I knew that my first order of business needed to be to deal with that thing. And the good thing was, while I was relaxing, the Holy Spirit was showing me how to fix it. Hallelujah. And I was thinking about it, and I was talking to God about it. And so when I get in there and I see it, I guess now is the time. And so I go in, and she's asking me, can you fix it? Can you fix it? Oh, can you fix it? And she's asking me over and 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 over again and over and over and over again about, can I fix it? And meanwhile, I'm just trying to like tune her out a little bit, and I'm not to answer. I'm just trying to see if I can fix it. But I'm thinking, Lord, help me get this thing out of here. And I'm turning, I'm saying, oh, God, help. And I finally was able to wiggle it just the right way. I put a little bit of pressure on it in just the right spot, and the thing went boop. It came right out. And my wife goes, yes, I knew you could do it. You're my hero. And I said, oh, really? It was nothing. Really? And so I pulled out the head of the recorder, and I was blowing it. And I was feeling mighty good, and I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I went out into the room, and I was blowing the little toot-to-do-to-do-to-do-to-do. And all my kids said, what? How'd you get that out? I can't believe you fixed it. How did you do it? And you know what I said? Because I had done the one thing none of them did. I talked to God about it. I asked the Lord. And because I talked to God about it, the Lord enabled me to fix it. And I would say that when you learn how to talk to God about things, you will gain wisdom that you otherwise will not have. And you will find yourself at a deficit because you never went to God. And I've learned one thing. That God knows everything. He has a way. He will enable you to overcome obstacles. It doesn't matter how simple or small it is. Take everything to God in prayer. Not that you have to be, oh God, in the name of Jesus, I sanctify you and hold me, help me. Oh, Heavenly Father. I'm not talking about that. You can just say, Lord, can you help me with this? God, I need your help. And if you're genuine in your heart, if you are pure in your desire and your request as you talk to God, God will be more than happy to help you. He will be more than willing to enable you to overcome whatever it is that you're dealing with. He will make a way when it seems impossible. He will open doors. You see, God loves those who love him, and those who diligently seek him will find him. Hallelujah. That is diligently seeking the Lord. Hallelujah. And so in Matthew 24, 42 to 44, we see this story. Now, we're all familiar with Matthew 24, right? We know this is where all the end times people like to really root themselves. And it's really the point where Jesus kind of explains what the end times are going to be like. And it's a good passage to read and to familiarize yourself with. But ultimately, in the end, it comes down to this. And this is the last of the chapter. It says, therefore, verse 42, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. Period. Right? So now, what manner of people ought we to be? We need to be a people on the alert of the things of God. We need to know the reality of God in His Word. We need to be abiding in His Word. We are a last days people. We are a New Testament people. We have to hold on to the Word of God. It ought to be the one thing you can't go through the day without. You need the Word of God. It charges you and gives you the wherewithal that you need so that you can have the right mentality to go through the day in a way that is kingdom beneficial. God is working out a plan in our lives. He says, but be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. And so, if he's coming at an hour when we don't think he will, that is the reason we need to be ready. He says, be ready. Get ready right now. Be in a state of readiness. Be in a place where you're on the right path, on the roadmap of life, so that you can be sure to get where you need to go, so that God can see you through. He says, who then, verse 45, is the faithful and sensible servant whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Now, food in the sense of spiritual food. If God is the head of your house or the head of your life, and the food is the food of the Spirit or the kingdom of God, then He has given you and I charge to represent His kingdom in the world. And as we interact with people, we're the ones who feed them the Word of God, the testimonies of the Lord, the witness of God. God orchestrates people into our lives. We know people. We interact with people. We work with people, all by divine design. God has called us to be witnesses to these people, and we represent the kingdom of God. Who then is the faithful and sensible servant? You and I, hopefully, are that person. There's a reason you work where you do. There's a reason you are in the place that you're in, where you live, in the neighborhood, and the people around you. God is calling you to be a beacon of light and hope to those people. And we have to be aware of this, and take it seriously. Know who we are in Christ. Not so that we can bombard and beat people with the Word all the time, but so that at the right time, we can sow the seed. We can shine the light. It's God's timing, and God has worked everything out. All we have to do is follow Him. Stay the course. Stay on the path. Stay on the road. And that's why he goes on in verse 46, and he says, blessed is that servant whom his master finds so doing when he comes. So God is coming looking for people who are representing the kingdom of God, not for people who are looking for him to come, because you don't know when he's going to come. So he says, look, don't get caught up in looking. Just know that you need to be ready. And so we're aware of the seasons and the times, and that is an opportunity for us to say, you know what, I better make sure I'm ready. I need to double check my relationship with God. We need to get on course and say, you know what? Do I really know him? Am I really born of God? Am I really born again? God, help me to be your ambassador? Am I hungry for the things of God, for fellowship, to be around people who can help me grow and mature, people who can see something's on my back and begin to brush it off so that I can be free of any contagions or anything that may be on me that is not of God? I need people to help remind me to wash my hands or to take a shower or whatever it needs to be. You need people in your life who can tell you that. Isn't that right? You ever go out of your house and you forgot to wipe a spot on your face and you got this thing from you sleeping at night on your face? You ever had that happen to you? You ever had that happen? Right? And your wife doesn't notice it. Your kids don't notice it. All of a sudden you get to work and somebody goes, "Hey, what's that?" And you go, "What? You got this white?" Yeah. It's like, "What? Oh, good. Oh, oh my." And yeah, right? You got something on you. Right? Or maybe it's on your clothes. You know, what is that on your coat? Well, goodness, nobody saw that. How did you not see that? Help me. Thank God you got people in your life who can point that out. So when you go into a meeting and you're not standing there in front of the group and you got a big spot or stain all over you, right? Or you go in and you got something going on or something that's not right. One time I had a rip in my pants. Hallelujah. You need people who are looking out for you. You need people who can see stuff and head off any challenges. Hallelujah. One time I preached a sermon, my zipper was broke. I kept feeling a breeze. I'm like, what is that? Finally, after the service, I looked. I'm like, oh, man, this thing is broken. It wasn't working. Embarrassing things pastors go through. Yeah. But you need people in your life who can help you, who can see you through, who can guard you and help you grow, help you mature in your walk with God. People who understand that, you know, we're all struggling and working through these principles and the things of God together. And together we can help each other overcome the obstacles of the enemy. When people know the devil that we're warring and fighting against, then it makes it easier when it's time to get help, because we have an understanding. We have wisdom and knowledge together. And that is why we do what we do as the people of God, as the church. And so blessed is that servant whom his master finds so doing when he comes. He says, "Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions." That is what God is working out in our lives. God is preparing us so that when we get to heaven, we can reap the reward of faithfulness. Of all that God has done in our lives, God is preparing a place for us. And his reward is with him, Revelation says. His reward is with him. Verse 48 of 24 says, "But if that evil servant says in his heart, 'My master is not coming for a long time,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with drunkards," or the ungodly, "the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour which he does not know." And so he will find himself in a very precarious position, because verse 51 says, "And will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Who are the hypocrites? They're the people that claim they have faith and all kinds of stuff going on, and then when something happens, they fall apart because they really don't have what they say they have. And when you're not honest with yourself, when you refuse to look in the mirror or look at the roadmap and make a determination as to where you really are in life, then you will never be able to be in a place of legitimacy and honesty whereby God can work with you, for you, and through you. And so we must be right with God. We must be honest with God. And we must allow God to work in our lives so that we can overcome the very real obstacles that we all face. And together, we can avoid being in this situation. And so the third question is, am I a godly influence? Do I share my testimony of how God changed my life? Do people approach me about godly things? Do people seek my input in their pursuit of God? Do the people closest to you see you as a godly influence? Do people see you as a godly influence? Because the people that are closest to you, they are the ones who are probably going to be your biggest challenge. Jesus said a prophet is without honor in his own home, right? In his own hometown. And so your home is where your biggest critics will be. And if you can win your loved ones in your own house and family, if they see you as a woman of God, a man of God, whatever level or wherever you are in your walk with God, that people would see God in you, that is a great accomplishment. Your number one witness is to your own family and your household, and that the people living right there with you would see and respect you as a child of God. And from there, it just builds out. And God begins to use us in the community and in the places that we go. And so we go in the power of the Spirit of God. We go, as the scripture says, in the volume of the book. We're able to gain strength and power by the Spirit of God because of the anointing of God as we have abided in the Word of God, who empowered and enabled us so that we can do what the Word of God actually says. And so Hebrews 6:11 says, we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. It's about enduring to the end, people. It's about enduring to the end, persevering and pressing our way to the end. And it might be just the end of your life, or it might be the end and when Jesus comes back and launches us into eternity. Whichever it is, it's still the end for you and me. And so we know that it's important that we are diligent in applying these principles, in doing these things. And this is why we come together. This is why we help each other. We watch out for each other, and we enable each other and build each other up and encourage each other in these things. Colossians 3:1-4 says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the news, not on the things that are on earth. Set your mind on the things that are above. For you have died, in your life is hidden with Christ in God. Hallelujah. You and I have died in Christ. It's not we who live in and of ourselves, but we are hidden in Christ. Our lives are hidden in Christ. Did you take the life class? You should, right? If you didn't, you should. And in the life class, they talk about the importance of understanding this very principle, how we are in Christ and Christ is in us, and we are all in God, and God seals us. He's our cover. He's our protector. And nothing gets to you except going through God and the Spirit of the Lord and Jesus first. And by the time it gets filtered through all of those, then it gets to you in a manner in which you can handle it, because God will not put on you more than what you can bear. As long as you're in Christ, you will be able to bear it. And the key is, it's what you can bear in Christ. The average person may not, but when you're in Christ, you can. Why? Because you're enabled by the Spirit of God. And so the power of God operates as a catalyst in your life for you to accomplish the things of God. So in Colossians 3:4, he says, then, or when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Hallelujah. Doesn't that excite you? Don't you love that? First of all, it says in glory. That ought to make you happy. Then it says when Christ is revealed, you will be revealed in glory. Hello? You know what that means? That means you get there. Hallelujah. You get there. Otherwise, it would say Christ is revealed, but I don't know where you were. That would make you worry, wouldn't it? But the fact is that you and I are revealed in Christ. because our faith and our trust is in him, because we walk with him and we commune with him and we live our lives with him, our trust is in him, then everything Christ is, we're in him, he's in us. And when we get there, Christ will be revealed and they'll say, and there shall. Hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm happy. Hallelujah. And I pray that your name is in there too. You and I, we have a reason to rejoice. We have a reason to be happy. We know that God is able. And so finally, in 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Your toil, your struggle, your hard work, your efforts to live holy and godly and to apply biblical principles in your life. All the efforts that you're putting into doing what the will of God is, you're persevering, coming to Bible studies, prayer meetings, and church worship services and youth meetings and all these things, pressing your way. It's all worth the effort. Your toil is not in vain. You're saying, I'm risking my life going out in the coronavirus. Yes, but you've got the wind of the Spirit of God. He is buffering you as you go, because you're not just going for selfish reasons. You're going in obedience to the word of God, to the will of God, in the power of the Spirit of God. And God will make a way. He will open doors. And God will see you through. And when we are hearing the Spirit of God and we are walking in faith and trust in God, God will honor his word. The word of God says God watches over his word, where he hastens his word to perform it. God will cause the word of God to come alive in your life, in your personal experiences, in the things that you are doing. Does it mean we operate in carelessness and with a lack of wisdom? No, we wear our masks. We do everything we need to do. We try to keep our 6-foot distance as much as we can, and we do what we need to do. But at the same time, just like there's a need to go to the grocery store to buy food, there's a need to be in the house of God. There is a need to grow in the Spirit, in the things of God, to feel and operate under the anointing. Hallelujah. We do all that we can so that when people come to church, they sense the presence of God in this place, that there's an anointing in this building. We pray through the building and around the building. We're not just spraying it with Lysol or cleaning and all that. Listen, we do that too. We know the devil shows up on every front. But even despite that, we pray and worship God in the Spirit through this whole place, and we pray against sickness and disease. We are not just praying and randomly doing, but we are working against the works of the enemy so that the gates of hell will not prevail against our church. And hallelujah, we are taking an active stance, not a passive stance, in our faith in God and in our walk with God. And we want to make sure that when the people of God come, they're coming into his presence. They're coming into a place of divine covering where the anointing of God dwells, where the Spirit of God dwells, and everything else stays at the door. It will stay at the door. And that is what we are persevering in. And so therefore, we are steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our toil is not in vain in the Lord. So whatever you do, saints of God, do your work heartily, hallelujah, as for the Lord rather than for men. And so it doesn't matter, Paul says here to the Colossians, when you go to work, you go unto God. You're not just working for the man, you're working for the Son of Man, hallelujah. You're working for the Lord. You're working for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You represent a whole different kingdom. You are of a totally different mentality than other people that are going to work. You're going in the power of the Spirit of God, in the volume of the book. Hallelujah. This is what we are all about. He says, knowing that from the Lord, you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve.
Hallelujah. You have a reward, saints of God. You have not just a reward, you have an inheritance. Hallelujah. Matthew 25, 23 says, it says, his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Hallelujah. Your Lord. You have to make him personally yours. You have to accept him for yourself. You have to listen to his words and not the words of anyone else or anything else. And because we are faithful to God, he is faithful to us. This is what I long to hear. Do you long to hear these words? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Here's the good part, right? Enter into the joy of thy Lord. That's the good part. In the end, you can hear, well done, that's good, hallelujah. You were good and faithful, that's great. But when he says, come on in. Oh, that's a whole nother story now. Now we're coming in. Oh, there's no delay, hallelujah. Praise be to God. I can tell you it's all worth it in the end. God is faithful. If you are diligent to keep the commandments of the Lord, your God, and his testimonies that he's building in your life, and you keep hold to his statutes and his laws and rules and all the things that God has commanded us in his word, then you will hear that testimony. Well done. You will hear him say, enter in to the joy of the Lord because you have lived a diligent life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God is able to do abundantly more than you could ask or imagine. And ultimately, you and I will be where we need to be as we pay attention to the checkpoints along the road of life and make sure that we are in right relationship with God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Your design. Come on, guys. It is so. No matter what is going on in the world, God's people have an advantage. The advantage is the Word of God. And when we apply the biblical principles that we have at our disposal, God promises us that he will see us through the challenges and the difficulties of life. He will open doors that no one can shut. He will make a way when it's impossible. The crooked way will be made straight. The mountains will be brought down so you can easily pass over them. The valleys will be raised up so that overcome. In fact, when you go through the waters, it says they won't overtake you. And when the water and the tides and the waves are choppy, you won't drown. And it says when you go through the fire, you won't be consumed. In fact, you won't even smell like smoke. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego testify. So you and I have the ability to overcome. You and I have the ability to see the hand of God at work in this 21st century. God is able, my friends. Trust him. Apply the word of God in your life. Don't live each day without talking to the Lord and hearing his word and following his ways. Allow him to direct you. Keep your eyes stayed on him and your mind stayed on him so you can see and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to his people, and you can have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Let God be glorified. Let him be lifted up and exalted in every aspect of your life. In Jesus' name, amen? Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for your word today, and we ask, oh God, that you would breathe life into us, that you would guide
guard us against the enemy of coronavirus and every other sickness and disease. And I pray health and strength, Holy Spirit.